Succession number 24897, rail 5.
General Home, Reel 5. You were saying that the tanks were going to set back on your start line for the first part of the attack and then and shoot over your heads and then come forward later on.
That's quite correct.
And there'd been no time for reconnaissance.
No, we'd done it all off our photographs. We didn't use maps by then, we used gridded air photographs, and they were absolutely brilliant. The first thing I remember about the battle, our forming up place and start line had again been chosen off the photographs. And our start line was the biggest and thickest and most impenetrable hedge I ever remember seeing, and there we were behind it.
Well, it would be unmistakable, at least. You wouldn't have any difficulty finding
it. No, but we couldn't get through it, we couldn't get over it, because it was so thick. And we could have got over the tanks to make a way through, but there wasn't time to do that. So, looking back on it, it was amazing. We had to find a gap in the middle somewhere, a gate or something. And eventually we did, and we had our two forward companies piling through this one tiny gate, all in the space of about 2 or 3 minutes, hoping that we'd be all right when we got on the far side.
Also, presumably the enemy didn't spot you and bring down a stonk.
That's right. But eventually, I think we did, and we got formed up on the other side, and then off we set.
Were the enemy positions being bombarded while you were doing that?
Well, they must have been. They must have been. I think aircraft too, probably. I can't really remember the aircraft side of it. But there was such tremendous support for all our attacks by then that you took it all rather for granted. Anyway, the next thing I remember, it was a very large artillery barrage, and in those days, maybe still the same today, you were meant to be 200 yards or something behind the barrage for safety purposes. Well, there was this marvellous straight line of shells in front of us, and we advanced quicker than the barrage. And we, down in our dip, we had to pause for the second phase of the attack, I suppose, to let the tanks come up and so on. And by the time we got to our dip, we had got very close to our barrage, I think probably about 50 yards, because I can remember 25 pounder bits, which some of them fly backwards, sort of hitting us from time to time.
Did you suffer any casualties?
I don't think so, because we learnt that bits flying backwards from 25 pounders are pretty innocuous somehow, I don't know why, but I can remember sort of. Anyway, we paused. And the next thing that happened to me was I got an order to battalion headquarters saying I'd gone 100 or 150 yards too far, and please retire your company that amount before the second phase. Well, as I always said in my talk to staff college, you get some pretty silly orders in war, but to me that sounded one of the silliest. And I can't remember what I said on my wireless to battalion headquarters, but I don't think it was printable. Anyway, what happened was that the restart of the barrage was pushed another 100 yards or so further on.
So the artillery adjusted.
Yes, the artillery adjusted. And as I always say, we had to catch it up all over again. Anyway, and the tanks, during our pause, I can remember some enemy activity on our right flank. And the tanks dealt with that, because they were coming up at that time. And then we captured our ridge with very few casualties of ourselves, although we were told that, in fact, it had been a German battalion position.
How did the tanks actually cooperate? Did they follow behind the leading infantry, or were they leading the way?
No, they weren't actually leading, I don't think. But they were with us, so to speak.
Yeah. Do you remember what sort of tanks they were?
I think they were still Shermans, but I can't. I'm guessing.
Can't remember the regiment?
No, I can't.
How many of them were there, do you think?
I think we had a squadron, probably.
So you had about 15
In
squadron. Support of your company? Or would that be in support of the battalion?
Squadron in support of the battalion, I think.
How wide was the front, the two-company front?
150, a couple of hundred yards, perhaps. Yeah.
When you got onto the German positions, were they still there, or had they...
No, they'd pushed off.
They had?
Yeah. I don't really remember this. I think they were demoralised by that time. Mm. You know, I mean, they were losing the war in Normandy. And our people afterwards said, some of them, that they had been there because they found sort of half-eaten meals and things in their positions.
Mm. What were their positions like? Did you get a chance to look at
them?
Much
like ours.
They were.
Slip trenches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Same sort of pattern of layout.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Mm. Did you remember receiving any fire coming from the Germans while you were doing that advanced contact and attack?
I can't. Mm. But the noise was so tremendous, and our fire was so tremendous. But we hardly had a casualty in that particular attack.
What happened then when you take the Launay Ridge? Did you stay there and hold it, or
we did
push on?
We did, and my memory is bad about dates and geography, but it must have been after that. I suppose it was after. I'm sure it was. Yeah, that we advanced, and there was still German resistance. And we advanced in pretty unorthodox ways, I think, by that time. I mean, we were suddenly told to do a night advance without any previous reconnaissance and all this. But I suppose the defences were disintegrating the Germans. And that went on for...
Was there any significant opposition on those?
No,
phases?
Although we had casualties. Mm. And some of the Germans were pretty brave. I remember our C Company had got up into a wood. And they were counterattacked, and the company commander was killed in his slip trench, you know. But by and large, the major resistance had gone by then.
You were saying earlier that before the attack on the Launay Ridge, you had thought that things were going to be easier, that the battle had effectively been close to won. How were you getting your information? How did you keep in touch with what was happening on a grander scale?
Well, we got briefed very, very carefully and so on. I think when we were in our defensive position, I think we used to have a briefing at battalion headquarters every evening. Mm. And I suppose they got the information from the brigade and everywhere else. Mm. And one of the things that soldiers like very much is to be kept in the picture as to what is going on, not only on their particular front. So we were very meticulous about this. Mm. In fact, after I'd been to battalion headquarters for briefing, I always used to have my own A group. And then that would eventually filter down to the soldiers.
So you'd brief the platoon commander.
I would.
The platoon commander then brief the soldiers.
Soldiers, yeah.
Did you have access to BBC broadcasts in any way?
I can't remember that. No, I don't think so. No.
And do you remember seeing anything like a divisional newsletter or anything like that?
I don't remember. No. No, I can't. Certainly not in Normandy. Ah. Whether we had, my mind, the Polar Bear News, because we eventually joined 49 Div, and the Polar Bear News sticks in my mind, so I must have seen a copy of something called the Polar Bear News somewhere at some time.
What happened then after the Launay Ridge? You were going forward, you said, in unorthodox ways. Presumably that means without the usual precautionary measures.
Yes, and there was one particular advance, I remember, most extraordinary, where there was only one road or track we were going down, and we and the Gloucesters were advancing, the Gloucesters on the right of the road and us on the left, in the night, totally unreconnoitred, almost in single file. And that wouldn't come out of a textbook.
No, it wouldn't. It was this battalion single file.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty well.
It's a very long snake.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep going.
That's right.
And no trouble?
Minor, should we say. Mm. Minor. Mm.
Do you remember the fighting at Croxeals at all?
No.
What happened then when you got onto the area of the Falaise Gap? Did you get involved in
that? We didn't get involved in that at all. We were really out of it by then. Mm. And we motored behind the army, eastwards. My memory and sequence of events is pretty sketchy. But there were various rivers we crossed. We were well north of Paris, of course, fairly near the coast. And we were clearing up, I suppose, the enemy. And our next stop, major stop, was Le Havre.
So you'd crossed the Seine, or you were in the area around the Seine?
Yeah, when we were diverted.
Yeah.
I should say at this time that it was about this time that 50 Div was disbanded.
Oh.
And we were a battalion, a brigade of three regular battalions, so I suppose they thought they couldn't disband us. So we joined 59 Div, and one of the brigades of 59 Div was disbanded to let us in. So we weren't frightfully popular, I think, in 59 Div. I forget how long we were with 59 Div, but it wasn't a very long time, because they were then disbanded, because we were running short of manpower. And the same thing happened to us again, that we remained intact. We displaced a brigade of 49 Div.
So you were moving from division to division.
And we stayed then with 49 Div for the rest of the war.
What was your own strength like at that time? Were you having difficulty in keeping...
I don't know. I think we were okay. I think we were okay.
Presumably you must have had to absorb replacements.
Yeah, we did. But I don't remember... Oh, I think we lost D Company at one time. But I think towards the end of the war, again, that was reformed. So whether there was a bit of a hiatus about reinforcement, I think there might have been, but then made up again at the end of the war.
Were there any difficulties with replacements being integrated?
No, none at all. It was quite surprising, really. I mean, wherever we had a lot of jocks and various people, and they were made to put on our badges, and there didn't seem to be any problem.
Fitted in.
Yeah, marvellously.
What happened then at Le Havre? What do you recollect about that?
What I recollect mostly about Le Havre is the RAF bombardment. We were told the whole of Bomber Command were put on Le Havre, and we were expecting quite a stiff battle. In fact, what happened, and there were extensive fortifications around Le Havre, and some of the fortifications were very deep. A sort of minor Maginot line, almost. And what I can remember is going round and pulling the Germans out of their trenches, because they'd been so shell-shocked by this tremendous bombardment that they weren't making sense, really.
What happened to them? What did you do with them once you hauled them out of there?
Well, they went back, you see, we took like all through the campaign. I mean, you took some Germans, you never kept them, you just sent them back to brigade. And
did any of them show any fight or resist?
No, not at Le Havre. Well, not that I remember. No.
How long did it take then to clear those German defences and fight your way in?
24 hours, perhaps. But again, you see, Bomber Command had really won that battle, I think.
What condition was the city in when you got into it?
I don't think we ever got into it, because we were on the outskirts. And I don't think we ever went into the middle of the town.
Did you see anything of the local population?
Can't remember. I think not, probably.
What happened then after Le Havre? Presumably then
we motored up. I think we'd had our river crossings and things before we got there. And I think by the time we'd taken Le Havre, I think we were up in Brussels and places, the army. And so we motored on up to Belgium.
Did you encounter any resistance?
Not on the way. No. I mean, you know, I can remember some quite long journeys.
Were you driving in air formation or anything like that?
No.
Nose to tail?
Well, no. We were meant to keep so many spaces from the south. Yes. And we were all, the soldiers were all in three tunnels. Yes.
Do you remember anywhere where you stopped overnight on that?
No, I can't really. And then we were with 49 Div, and I think we transferred then to the 1st Canadian Army, under command of the 1st Canadian Army, whose job was... to capture on the left flank, go up through Belgium and Holland. I believe the first objective must have been to clear Antwerp. I think that was, you know, for the shipping.
What did you have to do there then when you got to Antwerp?
Well, we never actually went to the west Antwerp. We were on the right of that, and we went up through Belgium and Holland, and we had various engagements. One or two more serious than most. There was one place sticks in my memory where we fought a very successful defensive battle at a little village called Rickivorsal.
Yes, what happened there?
We took over from another battalion who were occupying most of Rickivorsal. And we were in houses then, we were in the village. And we were counterattacked certainly twice. On the first occasion, the counterattack was a bit on our left flank, not towards the village, but over some fields, I suppose to try and outflank us. And I can remember the CO telling us that they got information that this tank was coming in, and this attack was coming in with a large number of infantry, and we hadn't got any tanks with us at that time. But there were some tanks in the vicinity, and he had the nous to get hold of the tank commander, I think it was probably only a troop, and said, I know you're not meant to be supporting us, but if you'd like to come back with me, you'll get some very good shooting this morning, which he did, and this troop of tanks, say we were there, and the enemy were advancing down there, and the troop of tanks got up here and caught them all in the flank, and they absolutely decimated them, I gather, when they were in the open.
How far away were they, the enemy?
Oh, not far. Mm. I mean, a couple hundred yards, perhaps.
What was the ground like?
Reasonably open. Oh. Reasonably open.
Was this in the southern Netherlands, then?
Well, I'd have to look in the map, see whether Rickivorsal was in Belgium or Holland, but it was not, I mean, it was might have been on the border.
Just open fields?
Yeah, pretty well. Mm. And the village was a reasonably sized village. Well, now that was one day, and then the following day, we got attacked in our village. And my 9 platoon, it was the forward platoon there. And the Germans were advancing, infantry in open order, without much support. And the 9 platoon opened fire on them. And all the Germans stopped and lay down and were picked off.
What, just lying on the ground?
Yeah, lying on the ground.
How far away from you were they when you were?
Not far.
When you stopped them?
Not far.
You let them get close?
Yeah, I think they did. Mm. I think they did. Mm. And the Germans almost defeated themselves by stopping and lying down because they were then sitting targets. Mm. And nearly all of them were killed, I remember. But we captured one or two. I can remember one or two in my company quarters for a bit.
Do you remember what impression you got of them when you had them there? What their physical condition?
I can't really. I think the physical condition was all right.
Do you remember if they said anything?
All I remember, I'm afraid, is that one German lying on the floor in our company quarters waiting for us to evacuate him had been wounded in the stomach. And all he said was, Wasser. That's why he wanted water, which we gave him. But I think they were pretty second-rate soldiers, really.
Do you know what sort of strength they were?
No, I can't remember.
How were they laid out? What was their formation when they were advancing on the village?
Well, they were in open formation. Might say like a platoon attack of ours. I mean, they were probably a company, actually.
Yeah. You were in the village. Did you have your fighting positions in the houses?
Yes, you did.
What did you do to prepare a house to fight from it?
Well, I don't think we were in the village, and I don't think we could dig in, you see, and it was no really good digging in the back of a house, because in the small garden. So we were in the houses. I suppose some of them were on the first floor.
Yeah.
With the brands and so on, covering the field of fire from the windows.
Oh. Just wondering if you'd done any loopholing of walls.
No, I don't think we had time for that. I don't think we thought about that.
Well, what about the local population? Were they still in the village?
No, I don't remember any of them. I think they'd all gone. Yeah. The Germans had a bit of artillery. I can remember some quite heavy artillery concentrations from
the village.
On the village, from behind. But I don't think it did much damage to us. We were in the houses, and I think.
What about your mortars? Were they able to take part in this fighting?
I think they probably did. I can't remember, I'm afraid.
Because by that time you've got, I think,
six mortars.
They could lay down a fair amount of
fire. And then we went on up and through Holland. I can remember one battalion attack one morning. I can't remember where or when. I can remember another river crossing, a night river crossing of the River Mark. I think that was in Holland, all right.
How did you do that?
I then had the boat carrying. We had to ferry it.
You did?
The others across the river.
What kind of boats did you have?
Little assault boats.
What canvas?
Yes. I mean, they took about, if I have an assault boat, I don't know if they still use them. Did they take 10, 12 men? I
can't. Probably take about a section.
Yeah, section plus, I think.
I mean, they had one sort that were effectively folding boats with canvas and wooden struts.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you could let them down.
Paddle them.
Yes, that's right. And we did the paddling.
You did paddling. It's hard work, isn't it, paddling?
Well, I don't think it was a very big river. But we got the other three companies across. And actually, the Germans did do a counterattack the following morning. And they very nearly got back to the river.
What was your company still on the friendly side? Or?
Well, we had some blokes on the far bank.
You did.
But we were securing the crossing place.
All right.
And I don't know whether we had one platoon across or two, I can't remember. But we had some across and some on our bank. And the Germans made considerable advances, actually, before the thing was stabilised, and we got back at them.
Do you remember how long it took you to ferry the three companies across?
I can't. An hour or two.
How did you manage to find your way in the dark with a thing like that?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember if we'd done a reconnaissance. I think we probably had in that particular case.
Yeah.
And we had our maps, and I suppose we got used to finding one's way by then.
And do you remember if there was a moon or anything of that?
No, I can't. No, I don't think it was. I think it was quite dark.
Paddling in the pitch black.
I think it was quite dark.
Yeah. It sounds a rather hazardous sort of undertaking. So you were saying earlier on that you trained in river crossings in Britain.
Yeah, I think we had, yeah.
Have you done it at night, or have there been mainly daytime?
I can't remember. I imagine we have, because we trained in night attacks and things. I can remember doing that in England. Mm.
What happened then later on in the winter of 44-45? Were you up in Holland for that?
We were. It was really quite, looking back on it, it was quite amusing. We, event 49 Div, still under the 1st Canadian Army, I think was given the task of protecting the left flank of 21 Army Group, because the thrust then, after Nijmegen and the failure at Arnhem, was eastwards, wasn't it? And we were on the island. Do you know what I mean by the island?
Between Nijmegen and Arnhem. Yes.
And we spent ages on the island. And the other divisions, so it became known, 49 Div, became known as the Nijmegen Home Guard.
What sort of positions were you in there? Were you in Nijmegen itself?
No,
or
we were.
Forward of it?
No, we were west.
West?
On the island, between the two rivers.
So that would be, would that be in the area of Elst?
Yes, Elst. Yeah. It was right in the middle of the island where we were. Yeah. And I don't know how much of 49 Div was there, but quite an amount. And we were dug in, defensive, and eventually the Germans flooded it. They opened the sluice gates on the river, and we had to abandon all our positions because they all got flooded, and we got into the local houses and villages.
Apart from flooding you out, which was a very common German tactic, I think. Did they attempt any counterattack?
Well, they did, and it led to one battle, I remember. Well, I don't know much about it. But a little village called Zetten, Z-E-T-T-E-N. And I'm talking now about mid-January.
Mm. Was this after the flooding, then?
Yes. And I think the waters... I think the waters were quite deep originally, and I think they gradually subsided, although they never completely went. I mean, I think the fields and everything remained pretty flooded for ages. But the Germans reoccupied a village called Zetten. And our battalion was ordered to recapture Zetten. And the attack was to start first thing in the morning. I think I was the leading company and advance. Now, I can't tell you much about Zetten because I got wounded very early on in Zetten.
What was the ground like on the way to Zetten?
Well, I think we were on the road.
You were having to go on the road.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I think so.
The roads were embanked, presumably.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we'd advanced into the village and had got held up when company headquarters were on the receiving end of things like Panzerfausts and that sort of thing, shelling.
Panzerfaust sounds like it must have been fairly close
range.
Yes,
it was, yes. And I got hit by bits flying from a Panzerfaust. And that was the end of me for 2 months.
What happened to you then? You were hit by the Panzerfaust. Did you lose consciousness?
I did eventually, yes. And I remember telling the CO what had happened, and I'd met him, whether I'd gone back to battalion headquarters, taken back to battalion headquarters or what, but I remember meeting him, and I can remember talking to the CO, and then suddenly I don't remember anything else.
You were knocked
until I was in a train going back to the Ostend.
How'd you got back to the battalion headquarters? Do you remember that?
I think I don't know.
Had the stretcher bearers come up to?
Well, they must have been there. I can't really remember.
I mean, you'd normally have them following on behind.
Yes, you would. Yes, yes. Sure. And they would be very close to our company headquarters always.
Yes.
So I suppose they dealt with them.
I mean, I know that sometimes the carriers were used to take back.
No, I don't. I don't know. I
don't remember that.
I think it must. Yes. Yes.
Or maybe you got back under your own steam with a bit of help.
I think that's more likely. Yes, I think that's what happened. But I do. I can remember I was able to brief the CO, and then I remember nothing more until, well, it was that night, or the night, or when it was, I don't know. But I remember being in a train at night.
On the way to Ostend. Having got a blighty one.
No, it was a hospital at Ostend. There was a hospital at Ostend by that time. And I was very well looked after. And I don't know how long I was in bed. Perhaps a week or 10 days. And I can't really quite remember how long I was in hospital in Ostend, 2 or 3 weeks. And then I did have some leave and went back home to leave. And about mid-March, I was fit again, and I rejoined the battalion.
Can you remember what sort of place Zetten was as a village? What the buildings were like and how it was laid out or anything about it?
Not really. No. Dutch village. But the battalion was successful, cleared the village again that day. CO got a DSO for that little battle.
Apart from you, do you know if there were a lot of casualties in the fighting in Zetten?
I don't know, I can't remember. I wouldn't say a lot. There must have been some.
Who was looking after you in the hospital at Ostend? Was this an RAMC?
Yeah, RAMC hospital.
What sort of treatment did they give you?
Well, I was wounded in the leg, right leg, basically. And I was operated on because the bit of metal had got well into my leg, still there. I feel it.
Yeah.
And they said it would have caused more damage to try and get it out.
Than leave it in.
Than leave it and let the thing heal up. But I mean, I can remember when there was quite a large incision in my leg, you know, they sort of probed about a bit.
Do you remember if you had any particular sort of rehabilitation during your convalescence after you got out of bed?
Don't think so. No, I think they just said, get on with it.
So you got better naturally.
Yeah, and when I can remember when I was allowed to move my right leg, it had shrunk to about half its size.
Because of lack of movement.
Well, because of lack of movement, you see. Yeah. But it soon came back.
All right. What impression did you get of England when you went back on leave? Had it changed at all while you'd been away, or was it...
Don't think so. No, much the same.
Where were the battalion when you rejoined them?
Same, well, on the island still.
On the island still?
Yes, still.
In
middle
March,
of March.
1945.
Middle of March. Yeah. I was away for about 2 months.
Yeah. Did this prolonged period in the same place have any effect on the morale of the soldiers? Were they fed up at all?
No. Well, I think everybody was hoping then the war was going to...